Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Look around you, if you will. Look at the windows. I can look at those and most of you can't, sorry. Look at the decorations. Look at the woodwork, the organ, the praise team space. Look at the pews. Look at all the people in the pews. It's impressive, isn't it? We are fortunate to get to worship in a space this majestic. Now, personally, I have had the good fortune to worship in cathedrals, also in the largest collegiate chapel in the world at Valparaiso University. There we are. I've worshiped in modern design buildings and in traditional buildings. I've worshiped in large spaces and small spaces, even small spaces that have really big views. I've also had the very distinct privilege of being the first white person in the new church in a Maasai village called Chinduli near Songombele in Tanzania. My bishop was going to show up the next week to dedicate the new church building, but I was the first one there. But I only saw the new building after we had worshiped where the village's congregation had begun its worship life in a stand of trees, next to a cow that was trying to find shade from all of the sun. Every one of these spaces I've talked about has been amazing in its very own way. The height of the windows, the fact that it had windows, the cool from the stones around us or from the leaves of the tree trying to surround us. It is the presence of God that makes all of them amazing. And this is what we celebrate today, as we come to the end of our season of Advent. In our reading from 2 Samuel today, David is wondering if it is time for him to build a temple. David is speaking with Nathan, who is his advisor, but also God's prophet. Nathan was not only David's advisor, but he was also a prophet of God. And David, in speaking with Nathan, speaks the truth, because David has a palace and the Ark of the Covenant is in a tent. Now, David wants to give the presence of God a proper space. No more tents, no more stand of trees, no more tiny chapel, no matter the view that the window gives you, no more half-hearted attempts. David thought that it was time for something special. David wanted to build a cathedral built of cedar, decorated with gold and precious jewels. David wanted to build some place that reflected God's glory. And we all want that same kind of thing. Think of this building we are in. So beautiful that it can take your breath away. We want God to be worshiped in beauty. We want the space to somehow reflect the glory and the wonder of our God. King David wanted it. Pope Leo X wanted it as he began building St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. Pastor Swinehart wanted it right here. We want God to know how much we love God by building a remarkable space where we might give thanks and praise and worship. God has other ideas. It's not that God hates our space or the Chapel of the Holy Dove in Arizona, or any of the repairs that are being done to Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. It's just that God doesn't really need that. I have been and done church in a state park, on a rock island in the middle of the lake in the Boundary Waters canoe area. I have done worship on a lake shore where fishing boats kept going back and forth. God doesn't need the fancy. God wants our hearts and our lives. God wants us to be His children. And through Nathan, God tells David that a temple is not necessary. Nathan, speaking on behalf of God, tells King David that he is not the one to build God's house. It is God's position that David stands aloof from his people as he lives in his palace, and God wants to be with his people. From the time that Moses made that tabernacle to the very moment in our Bible reading, God has been in the midst of his people, living with them in tents. That's where God belongs. In the midst of the people, so that God can provide comfort and protection, grace and mercy. God says to David that he won't build him a house, but that God, from David's house, from David's descendants, God will make come salvation. And that's the promise we are preparing to celebrate tonight. You see, in our gospel story today, this story continues. King David was not to build a house for God. But now through Gabriel, God tells Mary the most amazing news. She will provide a home for the Savior. Mary will bring God's love to all people. Our gospel story begins with the angel Gabriel coming to Nazareth to speak to Mary. Now, Nazareth was no special place at all. It wasn't even the county seat. It was a hick town. And into that nowhere town of Nazareth lived a girl named Mary. Now, as much as we know about Mary from the Gospels, she was no one important. She was a typical teenage girl waiting for her wedding day. Now, for centuries, the church has tried to make of Mary something special, to convince us all that she deserved to bear Jesus, our Lord. But it just isn't so. Mary is not the human equivalent to a cathedral or even our stained glass. Mary is a girl who is special because God chose her. And for no other reason, into Mary's extremely ordinary life, Gabriel comes with news that will change everything, and not always for the better. Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. That's Gabriel's lead. And Mary is favored by God. She has been selected to carry a child, God the Son of God. And she will name him Jesus. Now, Mary knows that this will be difficult. In fact, her question is, how can this be? I'm still a virgin and I'm waiting for my wedding day. Mary has been anticipating a family and keeping house, but not now and not this way. But Gabriel explains that God will make it happen, that nothing is impossible for God, and Mary accepts that answer and all of the implications that come with it. And then Mary's response is incredible. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Oh, for a faith like that. Mary knew that she was favored only because she knew that God loved her. Mary also knew that her parents were going to be upset, that Joseph was going to be crushed, and that the people around her were going to talk behind their hands and make of her a tramp. But Mary accepted God's plan, and the world is a better place because she did. She truly is a favored one. Not because she's a Rhodes Scholar or a supermodel, but because of God's love for her and for us all. Mary is important in our anticipation of Christmas because it is through Mary that God continues to be among his people. It's no longer tents that are going to work. God has chosen to become one of us. And Mary is the vehicle chosen to make that possible. It is not that she was important that God chose her. It is the fact that God chose her that makes her important. And so today, God sends to us a message. It may not be from the angel Gabriel this time. It may just be from me. But God says to you, to each of you, and to all of you together, greetings, favored ones. God is with us, and God chose to come as us. Through the presence of the Holy Spirit, we too are filled with love so that we might share with neighbors and with all the world around us. God favors us with forgiveness, life, and salvation. We are important, not because we're wonderful all on our own, but because we are loved by God and we get to share that love. We are not cathedrals, but rather we are the place among God's people where God dwells and works, where God cares and loves. God chose to come to us. May that truth carry your love and your lives out into the world. Amen.